not scared of dying, but I'm not sure about this stool thing. I'm more scared of falling off and getting hurt off of the stool. Anybody watch the basketball game the other night when they hit the last shot and it was the coach's son and he was sitting on a stool and he fell off the stool? That's probably, I get excited, so that's probably what would happen up here for me as well. I heard Bud say, we're going to have a movie tonight. And we're not, and we're not going to do a whole lot with the PowerPoint because I'm really not very technologically savvy. But I did figure out, Dwight, hold your phone up. Would you show? Look at that thing. If the screen goes out, we got a backup right there. We can just use that. I know how you lost 10 pounds carrying that thing around all week, without a doubt. If you want to turn to the book of John, chapter 13, the main verses we're going to look at this evening are verses 34 and 35 that we'll get to. This is a common theme. Everybody in here, I'm not going to be telling you anything that you haven't obviously already read in the book of John or that you haven't talked about before, but I do think it's something that we need to, as a church, think about and talk about at times, revisit, and really just try to figure out why we do what we do. I've had, in the last few months, the opportunity to think a lot about church. When the elders asked me to come to a meeting, and we sat down and we talked about this opportunity for me, I had a lot of reflection of the little church I was at Bear Creek and those people. You know, we had grown really close together, and thinking about that little church out in the country, and then knowing a lot about East Columbus Christian from being here at school the last 3 years and knowing what I liked about church here and the people that I knew and the excitement of getting to know more people along the way. And it just made me, over the last few months, really think about church and what it is that is about church, why we do what we do, and the importance of that. You know, there are places in life that we have to go. There are locations, there are buildings that we have to visit. Now, I'm not talking about gathering your family, and I'm not talking about taking kids or, for some of us, grandkids and heading to Disney World, or I'm not talking about putting enough money aside so that one day we can spend so many months or time on the beach in our retirement. Those are want-to places. I'm talking about places that, because of the circumstances in life, sometimes we have to go. And we don't always want to. It's not always the type of place that we want to go. And sometimes it might not be that it's that bad. I'm just not a shopper, okay? So when you say, let's go to the mall, that's really not the thing I like to do. But I'll tell you this, I'd much rather go to the mall than go to the doctor. You see what I'm saying? There are just certain things at times that are better than others, or things that we have to do. And so for the fun of it this evening, I want to talk about a few of them, okay? And I need a little participation from you because I want to look at a few of those places possibly that you have come into contact with. I know I have. And I'm going to put an image one at a time up on the screen. And I want you to say the first word that comes to your mind when you think of you or anybody else that has to go to this location. Just the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay? Easy enough? Shout it out. You know, if I had a board up here, I'd try to record some of them that you say. But okay, here's the first one. Give me a word. Money, food. All right, grocery store. All right, guys, how many of you guys like going to the grocery store and going through those aisles? There's some guys that just love to cook and do that. How many of you guys don't like it? All right, majority. All right, okay, here's the next one. You ready? Ouch, ooh. How many of you ever heard anybody say, I'd rather do anything than go to the dentist? That's kind of me. I haven't done a good job over my lifetime of going to the dentist. Okay, so we've got a grocery store. We've got a dentist's office. Let's try one more. I would just get laughs and chuckles there, huh? Anybody like me that every time you go to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, you never have everything you need to have on that first trip? You always have to go back, right? I don't know of anybody that says, I got a little extra time, I think I'll just go down to the BMV and hang out for a while. You know, it's just not a place that you look forward to going to. So those three things didn't probably get the ravest reviews from us. Sounds like you're a lot like me. Some worse than others. And again, some you might say, I'd rather go there than someplace else, but not any of the ones that we really want to go to a lot. But I wonder, and you don't have to say anything out loud here, but I wonder what people would say if we put this image up on the screen. You see, because I think we really have to think about it honestly. And think about, do we think of the church the same way that we think of going to a grocery store or going to the dentist or going to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles? Because we probably don't. But do we think of coming to church of something that we have to do out of obligation? I mean, is it something that in our lives we've grown up and our parents taught us to go to church, and that's what we know we're supposed to do on a certain day, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, maybe a Wednesday night, but that's just what I'm supposed to do, so I have an obligation that I need to go. And let me take that a step further. We all come here because, you know, we have a common bond and we know we need to be here. But let's talk about for a second people that didn't step foot in a church today. Let's talk about people that maybe have but haven't attended in a long time. Or maybe the people that have no intention and never want to step foot inside of a church. Because I would venture to say that those people's attitude about going to church is very similar about ours going to the Bureau of Motor Vehicles. No way. And maybe, just maybe, they had an experience. Maybe they have a point by whatever happened on the time they were there. But my question with that thought process and why I wanted to bring all that up, my question is that what God intended when he decided back in Jesus' day to start the church? And I think biblically we would have to say, no, that wasn't God's intention, nor is that God's plan today for the church. I believe that God, the reason I say I love my church, I believe that God wants us to love the church. I truly believe that. And I'm talking about the church as all of us together as the believers, the body of Christ. I'm not talking about a love that the media today would want us to, and I'm not talking about the word love. I think it's one of the most overused words in the English language, the way people throw it around. Oh, you love that, love that. I'm talking about love the way God intended us to love the church. So if you look at John 13, we're going to read verses 34 and 35. And it reads, a new commandment. I love that. We always see the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments. Well, looks to me like Jesus gave us another one. We should change that to the 11 Commandments, because Jesus is saying, a new commandment I'm giving to you. Better tack it on at the end. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Man, that's pretty powerful. That's a pretty powerful statement. Now, these verses are kind of a prelude before the church, because we're going to get the church in the book of Acts, right? But Jesus has his disciples gathered together, and he is telling them that this group of people that are going to start fellowshipping together, this group of people that are going to come together and be known as God's church, this is what their reputation will be. This is how people are going to look at them and view them. They will know who you are if they can see that you love one another. It's a simple statement. They will be a people known for their love for one another. So church people are meant to love one another. This is what I get out of that. I get that it's not optional. It's not really an elective that we get to choose. It's a command that Jesus is giving us if we're going to be participants in God's church. But I mean, really, what does that mean? Okay, we've said a lot, but what does it mean to love one another? When we say we want to love the church as God intended for that to be, what do we mean by love? Well, let me give you a couple of examples to try to drive this home. Probably 15 years ago or so, I had the opportunity to work as a consultant with a firm called the Schlechte Center out of Louisville, Kentucky. And what the Schlechte Center did is they went around to school corporations around the country and individual schools and worked on school reform and tried to work with teachers on creating engaging lessons for students and that type of thing. And one of the perks to that was every summer, the Schlechte Center had a conference in Naples, Florida. So for about 10 straight years, Sandy and I got to go, well, she got to go a couple of the years anyway. So for 10 straight years, I got to go to Naples, Florida. She went as often as she could. Early on, I think maybe even the first year we were down there, we were looking for places to eat. And we came across this little place. It wasn't a hole in the wall, but it wasn't a fancy restaurant either. But it was a place called Randy's Fish Market. And we went in and we got served. It was a neat setting, and we got our food. I think that very first time I got salmon. I love salmon, and I think Sandy got a seafood platter. Our food was delicious. We loved it. The service was wonderful. It was fantastic. We went away from Randy's Fish Market that evening saying, we'll probably come back here. And not only that, ever since then, even to today, if I know anybody that's going down to the Naples, Florida area, I tell them, hey, you need to go to Randy's Fish Market because it's good seafood. There's a lot of seafood in that area, but this is good seafood at a lot better price than some of those higher dollar seafood places. So every year we would make a trip, we would go to Randy's Fish Market. I loved and love Randy's Fish Market. I love a restaurant. Okay? That's the first scenario. The second one I want to talk real quickly about is one of our children, a daughter of ours named Araya. Araya married a young man named Spencer Heaton. I can remember when Spencer came to me and asked, you know, if he could marry our daughter, and we really liked Spencer. Spencer is he's the associate minister at First Christian Church in North Vernon. Great guy. So, yeah, we said absolutely, I can think of the times when we at the wedding, you know, that opportunity to be able to, some of you have done it, but to walk your daughter down the aisle and to give her away and to have that dance, that father-daughter dance at the reception and all of those things. You know, what a great experience. And one of the things that Araya did for us right before we went to the wedding. She did a destination wedding down in Gatlinburg. And right before we left, she gave us this, and then we filled in the picture after the wedding. But she gave us this to hang on our wall, and it says, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, your baby I'll be. Love, Araya. Now, I got to tell you, I love my daughter. Okay? So, we have a situation here where we say, I love a restaurant and I love my daughter. So what do we mean when we look in John and read these two verses that Jesus has given this commandment? What does it mean to say that we love one another? Does he want us to love one another like I love a restaurant? Or does he want us to love one another through our relationships? You know, with the restaurant, Sandy, and I, we were experiencing something that was given to us, you know, a service that was provided. It was an experience that we liked. We even had the opportunity to go on Facebook if we wanted and rate the restaurant so other people could go and see what kind of ratings it had. Now, think about this. That very first time 15 years ago we went to Randy's Fish Market, what if we had had a miserable experience? Never go back. And probably be telling people, hey, if you go down there, don't go to Randy's Fish Market. You know, it was a bad experience. And I don't know that I would have done it, but also have the opportunity to go online and rate them with a poor rating. With my daughter, I, over the years, have been experiencing a relationship. Not where I expect any service, not where I expect any gift or anything in return. It's just a bond, a relationship that has been developed over time. Because I love her, over the years, we have cared for her. We still today like to spend time together. They come over and want to go places with us all the time, and it's neat because we also have a little grandson from them as well. But we have, over the years, gone through life together. Now, let me tell you, that journey at certain points in time had some bumpy roads that we had to work through, right? I wouldn't ever go on Facebook and rate my daughter, whether that be a good or bad thing, because my love for my daughter is so much deeper than a love for a restaurant. So the church was never meant to be like a restaurant. It's meant to be based on relationships. And obviously you all know that that all begins with our relationship with Jesus Christ. And because we all have that connection, because we all have a relationship with Jesus Christ, that makes us have a relationship with each other. That brings that all together. Jesus loves us and brought us into a relationship with him. Jesus going to the cross was an act of love and how much he loves us. You know, earlier in John, where we're at in John now 13, earlier in John, we got the picture of God, and it says that God loved us so much that he was willing to send his son that he loved to die for us so that we can have real life. Now, is that not an amazing thing? He loves us so much, he was willing to have his son go to a cross so that we can have true, real, eternal life. What that tells me is he, from the get-go, intentionally loved us and really served us. In being brought into that relationship, we're not only in a relationship with Jesus, we're in a relationship with each other. And I drive that home because that says if we love our church, we have to get to know each other and love each other. It's being a part of that relationship that allows us to not only be a part of the church, it allows us to be a part of the kingdom. It allows us to be a part of the family of God. Unfortunately, many people treat the church like a restaurant. They do. Because here's the deal, and you know some, that if the church experience isn't to their liking, they'll just decide to go someplace else. Or not at all. And that's a real problem if they don't go at all. But let's be honest here. If that is what they come to church for and take out of it, that is not relationship focused. That is self-focused. That's coming to a church and saying, what am I going to get out of this? What will this do for me? How will this entertain me? That's love is kind of icy fit. Am I comfortable with that situation? what do I have to gain from going and participating in that church? And the church isn't supposed to be like that. You know, you can throw these buildings and everything. They didn't have these buildings. That had nothing to do with what the church was set up to be and what Jesus was saying to these disciples when he said, they'll be able to know you are my disciples when they see your love for one another. That's what it comes down to. So you'll experience loving the church when you intentionally love the church, which means when you intentionally love the people that come to the church. And see, what I want you to know and understand, and I'm not trying, you know, we're all as guilty as whatever, so I'm not stepping on toes here, but this is what we've gotten into in our society. This is more than knowing each other's name and where they sit on Sunday. This is getting to know each other so that we experience life together. God's intention from the start by creating man and woman was he wanted then and wants today to experience life with us and to be with us. So what does it look like to intentionally love the church, to be in a community? Well, real quickly, I just want to give you some things to maybe drive that home. If we want to have that kind of love for the church, what does that love look like and how do we do it? I think the first one is love by connecting. We have to connect with each other. That means we have to talk, we have to communicate, we have to get to know each other. Because being in community, being in fellowship, being in a relationship with each other is more than just that casual conversation we're talking about. We're talking about being in community and connection, being connected with each other, is meaning that nobody in here or nobody associated with this church should ever have to stand alone. Whatever we go through, whatever life throws at us, if we really love each other, if we really love the church, shouldn't we have somebody willing to step up and be at their side? I'd do that for my daughter. I'd drop everything in a heartbeat to go be by her side. And my book says that that's how they'll know if I'm a disciple. If I have love for one another. If I have that love for you. So we got love by being connected. I think we also have love by serving. You know, God has given each and every one of his followers spiritually empowered gifts. Did you know you're a superhero? You ever look at yourself as a superhero? God has given us all superhero powers. They're called the spiritual gifts. And the Bible says that we're all blessed with something in the way of spiritual gifts, of how we can connect with one another and help one another when we need to step to the plate. So we have love by connecting. We have love by serving. I think we have love by giving. And I'm not talking about our tithes and our offerings. That's a part of it. But it's more than that. It's the giving of the time. It's the giving of the resources. It's the giving of the talents and those gifts. Because giving, would you not agree with me? Giving is an indicator of love. It's an indicator of love. So we have love by connecting, love by serving, love by giving, and finally, we have love by sharing. By sharing. The love that Jesus gives to us is a love that shouldn't be hoarded even amongst ourselves. It's definitely a love that shouldn't be hoarded within the walls of this church. The love that Jesus gives to us is a love that should be shared in the community, with our friends and family and neighbors. If the book says they'll know we are Christians, disciples, by our love, then we can't just display it to each other in here, right? We have to display it out in the world and out in the community as well. If we aren't sharing the love of God with our words and our deeds, then I would second guess whether we're truly loving or not. In putting it all together, let me use this illustration. How many of you have either experienced cancer or know of someone close to you who have experienced cancer? Wow. Pretty much everybody, right? So what if one of the gifts God gave me was that of some kind of research ability? But what if God chose me to be the one to find the cure for cancer? I found the cure for cancer. All these people I know that have had it or whatever, I have now the opportunity to help them have the cure right here for cancer. But I've thought a little bit about it, and it sure seems like a lot of people we know have cancer or have had cancer, or seems like the odds might be that someday maybe Sandy or I might experience cancer. So I just have a little bottle. I think I'll just keep the bottle in my pocket for a while in case I need it later on for me or Sandy. Or what would you or the world think of me if I had the cure for cancer and I kept it to myself? I'd be a pretty low-life scoundrel, wouldn't I? We have what the world needs. We have the cure for the world in Jesus Christ. We can't sit back and keep that to ourselves. We have to go through these things of serving and giving and sharing and connecting with our community and our friends and family to show them that there is a way. There is a way for real life and eternal life. And I believe that God is saying, and Jesus was saying to those disciples, if you don't show love and have love for one another, then you've really missed the boat and let this whole church thing down. Later in John chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. I love this. This is Jesus saying a prayer for all believers. All believers. Us included. Here's part of his prayer. I have given them the glory that you gave me. Remember, he's praying. He's talking to the Father. I have given them, the believers, the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. Do you understand what Jesus is praying to his Father? I pray that they will love one another so much that they will be one, just like you and I are one. That's a pretty thick love. That's a pretty thick relationship. And then it says, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. And I want to close with Galatians 5, verses 13 and 14. Beginning with 13, it says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law," you get the entire law, everything, "the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command." If you want to wrap it up and summarize the whole thing, here it is in one command: love your neighbor as yourself. I'm sure we're all most in here for the same things, but as we get ready for this hymn of invitation, this love that we're talking about, and I just hope, and I'm so excited about over my time here with you as we get to know each other and love each other and missions that we're doing, ministries grow and things are happening around here. I love that Jerusalem project and what that has to do or what it can do for the community. But if you are here this evening and you don't know the kind of love that Jesus is talking about in this scripture and that we've talked about tonight, I encourage you to not leave here this evening until you find him and find what that love's all about, and ask him for his love so that we can all share that love with you as well. If you've been here and you just want to make East Columbus Christian Church your church home, we would invite you to do that this evening as well as we get ready to sing our hymn of invitation this evening.